My name is Larry Ciotti. I'm a Madison resident, and I had coached hand football for 20 years, and then I moved on to Yale University, and that's where I'm currently employed, and my position is advisor to the head football coach at Yale University after coaching 20 years at Yale as well. But I first started out, I was an assistant coach at North Haven High School, and I had a great experience there coaching, and the community was wonderful, and I really liked it, but I had an urge to be a head football coach. So that year I had applied to 16 various high schools from New Jersey to Maine, and I had gone to many of the interviews, and I got rejected. I was 27 years old at the time, and they said I didn't have enough experience. So I was pretty much rejected everywhere, and dejected as well. So my last interview was at Hand High School in Madison, and the word in the New Haven area and in newspapers is that they had targeted another person for the job, and my name wasn't mentioned. At the time, I really was new to the area, and so my name wasn't mentioned. No one really knew about me. But I did get an interview, and I went sort of into the interview nonchalantly, and knowing that I probably would be rejected there as well. But as I walked in to the locker room, I was interviewed by the athletic director, Bob Duncanson, and he and I just really got along. And before I knew it, I got a phone call that I was hired. And I was so excited. It was my first head coaching job, and I was going to move to Madison with my family from New Haven, and my children were about ready to start school, and I really didn't want them going to public school in New Haven. So the job was came along at the right time here in Madison, so I was very excited, obviously. But when I came and I drove down into the driveway of Hand High School, which right now it's Polson School, I drove down the driveway and I saw on the right-hand side a cow pasture and a bunch of cows. And so I went in and I had an interview with the principal, Milton Jeffrey, which there's an elementary school in town named after him. And he asked me, he said, "Well, what kind of town do you think Madison is?" And I said, "Well, obviously, it's a farm town." And I got a few laughs from him because it was, a town that was rapidly becoming a bedroom town for, executives from New York and Hartford and New Haven and so forth. He got a chuckle out of that. So I was really unfamiliar with Madison at the time. But anyway, I got hired as the football coach and wrestling coach. They wanted to start football and wrestling here in Madison, and I had a wrestling background, which was to my benefit and probably one of the reasons why I got hired as the football coach. So little did I know, I did very little research because I was so excited about being the head football coach somewhere, and especially here at Madison. And little did I know that there was no practice field, no game field, and no locker room. And when I found that out, I was pretty, this was in the month of March when I was hired. So I called a meeting of all prospective students that wanted to play football. And it was on a Sunday, I remember, and I came into the auditorium to meet the team and speak to them and tell them what our plan was. So I walked into the auditorium, and there were like 50 kids there, 50 young men there. And I was amazed at the number that wanted to play football. Of course, as practices went on, it dwindled to like 32 because they really didn't know what football was about. They had played youth football, but the way I coached was nothing like youth football. It was very, very hard. It was very demanding, very hard work, lots of contact, and consequently, many of them didn't want that. So they actually quit. But that was my first interaction with the team. So the budget in Madison back then was voted upon in July. So I had bought a house on Green Hill Road, a little tiny house for my family, and I was settled in, excited about the fall, and the budget was voted upon. It was declined, and they had to make some cuts, and the first thing the Board of Ed cut was football. To my amazement, I said, oh my goodness, this is what I was hired to do, something I wanted to do all my life, and now all of a sudden they cut football, and I was a little dismayed that there might not be a football team. Pretty sad about the situation, and then I got a call from one of the parents whose son was going to be playing on the football team, and he met with me and said, Larry, don't worry, we parents are going to get together, and we're going to fundraise, and we're going to support the program in the first year and make sure the Board of Ed supports it the following year. So actually, that's what they did with fundraisers and contributions and so forth. And we had to get some football equipment donated at the time, in particular from Yale University. And that actually was the beginning of the First Parents Club, the First Parents Booster Club. And it started with football. And after other teams saw support that the parents gave football, they started their own Parents Booster Club, which are very prevalent today and very popular today with teams everywhere throughout the whole country. But that was the First Parents Club, and it started with football. So we started practice in August. And again, as I mentioned, there was no locker room. So the athletic director said, we're going to get an old meat trailer and back it up to the entrance, the back entrance of the school, so the kids can change in the meat trailer. We'll put hooks up on the wall, and then they can go into the school to shower, come back out, and dress, and then go home. So I, you know, obviously I said, well, that's not a great situation, but we have no choice. And that worked out okay, as bizarre as it was. However, in the early, the latter part of the summer, early August, it was so hot and so humid that you could smell the meat in the meat locker, maybe stained on the walls, and a lot of flies congregated from time to time. So it wasn't the best of situations, but we got by. And as far as the practice field was concerned, our athletic director, Bob Duncanson, mentioned, well, he said, the Jansen farm next door, where the cows were, he said, I've talked to Mr. Jansen, and he's going to allow us to use part of that field. So it was a cow pasture. And we had the town mowed it and, you know, leveled it out a little bit, but it was still lumpy. And there was a fence to hold the cows back. So that's where we practiced. And what was really funny is that once we got on the field and we were doing calisthenics and stretching and drills and so forth in unison, the cows, when we set up to do these exercises, the cows would come galloping out of the barn, and there must have been about 10 cows, and they would come up and they would stick their head over the restraining fence, and they would watch us, and simultaneously they would turn their head from side to side as our team was moving different parts of the field. So it was a pretty novel idea, and our kids really looked forward to seeing those cows coming out with their big heads sticking over the fence. So that was our first practice field. And we had no game field, so we played all of our games away, and that was our first year. After the first year, Mr. Harold Strong, a philanthropist, retired philanthropist in town, who lived on Boston Post Road, high up on one of the hills overlooking the ocean. And he came to me and said, Larry, you don't have a game field, and you have a football team that I heard that's going really well. He said, I would like to do something to get you a football field. And I said, oh, that'd be great. So he said the town owned at the surf club, a parcel of land that would house a football field. And so he went to the town and said, if I supply the money to have it developed, would you consent to have this being a football field? And the town said yes. So I was really happy that we would have a football field, a game field. And I asked Mr. Strong, I said, you know, there are going to be people that'll come to the game, I hope, and we will need to have some seats. Would you entertain putting bleachers in as well? And he said, well, he goes, yeah, you're right. He goes, I probably should. He said, how many? And I said, well, we probably need 1,000 seats. So there was bleachers for 1,000 seats. And I also had the idea there weren't many Friday night football games. And I thought that if we could have Friday night football in Madison, the community would come out on a Friday night and see exactly what we're doing. And it would be a very popular entertainment for people in the town. They would love to come out. I said, we needed lights. I said, would you entertain the thought of putting up some lights? And he went, well, okay, I'll do that too. So we're very thankful for Mr. Strong, and the field that was renovated just a few years ago still has his name up on the field, which pleases me very, very much. Okay, our first football team, the first year was a JV season. And we, as I mentioned before, we played all of our games away because we didn't have a football field to play on, a home football field. And we played all JV teams in the area. And we had a winning record. I think we were like 5-2 or something. But I had played all freshmen. I had 23 freshmen. And I decided I'm going to play all freshmen as much as I possibly can because I know they're going to develop into good football players eventually. And so that was my idea to do that. And so the first year, as I mentioned, it was a JV season. The second year was the first varsity season. And I knew that we were playing teams that had much more experience than us. And I knew that we had to come up with a gadget, a something different to give us momentum to show our players that we're going to be successful. And one thing that I did do for the first opening game in the history of Hand High School football, I searched high and low throughout New England for a team that wasn't very good, a team that we possibly could beat and get us off to the right start with our football program. And I finally looked high and low, and I finally found a team in Massachusetts. And I talked to the coach there, and I knew they weren't that good. And I talked to the coach, and I tried to coax him to come here for our first game. And I was successful. And one thing he asked is, would you pay for the buses? And I said, absolutely. And then our athletic director said, and you know what else? We'll get sandwiches for them too. So that's how we started. They came down, and we had a big crowd, and I was so surprised. And a band was playing, and it was a great atmosphere at night on a Friday night in September, and we won 29-0. So the people in Madison thought that we were like a fantastic football team, and we're like really neophytes. But we got off to a great start. But the freshmen that I played as JVs, now they were sophomores, and they were getting better and better. And then as so the first year in varsity year, we were had 5 wins and 4 losses, I believe. So we had a winning season. The second year, we were 7-3. Those freshmen now became juniors, and they started really blossoming into good football players. And then the third year in 1973, and I like to call it from inception to perfection, in 1973 we went 9-0, and it was our first undefeated season. It was quite an accomplishment. Those freshmen that we had played many years ago, or 3 years ago now, were seniors, and they were absolutely terrific. So that's how we got started. But one of the things that we did early on is there was a play that I came up with. Nowadays, they would call it the Muddle Huddle. And it's where, on offense, people would line up at different positions. The linemen would line up all the way to the sidelines, and maybe receivers lined up to the other sideline. The center was all alone with the football. And we managed to come up with a play, and it confused the defense. And it was really something new back then. I don't remember where I got the play, but I thought it would give us an edge in some of our early games. So we used it, and we were successful and scored on it. So somebody labeled it the Ciotti Shuffle. So it was a big headliner for the first year when that happened. But that was pretty interesting. We had a great group of mothers early on. And many of them didn't know anything about football. And often they would ask me, you know, what is this and what are you doing here? What is this called? What play is that? Why is that called a fullback? So I decided to have a mother's only night. Of course, the dads all, you know, they profess to know everything about football. You know, many of them didn't. But they, you know, being male, they figured, well, I do know football. But the mothers didn't. So I decided to have a mother's only night at the high school. And so one of the mothers said, well, I'll bring wine and we'll have some hors d'oeuvres. And I said, okay, that'll be great. So we had maybe about 20, 25 mothers that came. And what I did is I gave them an education on football. I taught them football right from the start, from the kickoff, and from the different positions that people play. And it was very, very interesting. And of course, after a few drinks, the moms were loosening up, and they were asking some pertinent questions that I had answered. But mom's night was a great thing. That was a good thing that we did. As I said before, we started in 1970 with the JV team. And then it took us 3 years to have an undefeated team. And back then, they didn't have state championships for football. So the first state championship was in 1976. And that was the year that I happened to have a fantastic football team in 1976. And we had played, we made the state championship game. And we were slated to play St. Paul's of Bristol, and they were the number one team in the state of Connecticut, and they were just a phenomenal football team. And I had gone to scout St. Paul's, thinking that we probably would be playing them eventually, and in fact that we were going to play them for the state championship, and I didn't know how in the heck we were ever going to beat them. And we were just, you know, a young football team from Madison, and they were a parochial school, attracted from athletes from all over that area. And so I wasn't too sure that we could beat them. But we played the game in East Haven at East Haven High School, and it was just a signature game for us. And we won that game, and we became state champions, and that was in 1976. In fact, in October coming up, we're going to have the 50th anniversary of the first state championship team. And the 1976 hand football team, state champions, we were undefeated, but that was the only state championship in the history of hand high school athletics, not just football, athletics. They never were state champs in anything. And then from then on, other teams and coaches saw from other sports, I saw that, hey, the football won a state championship. Maybe we can do the same thing. And ever since then, I think up until now, I think there's been about 75 state championships with various teams at Hand High School. All right, this is a good story now. You ready? Most area teams had Thanksgiving Day games. It was a great way to celebrate a holiday with football, and it was very popular in the area. So we established a Thanksgiving Day game with Morgan High School in Clinton. And it was became a fierce rivalry. The games were vicious. It was really the workers versus administrators. In Madison, many of the people worked for Cheeseboro Ponds, which was in Clinton. And a lot of the people in Clinton worked for Cheeseboro Ponds as well. But the managers were from Madison. The workers were from Clinton. So that sort of surfaced anytime you played Morgan in any sport. And the Morgan people figured, if we beat Madison, it's like beating the management. And it was a big deal. So the games were vicious. They were 2,000 to 3,000 to 4,000 people watching the game on Thanksgiving. It was on in the morning at 10:30 in the morning. And they were tremendous games. And Morgan was very, very good at that time. Their program has dwindled somewhat because of the size of the school has diminished. But back then, they were equal in enrollment to Hand High School. So one year in 1975, we were playing Morgan at Morgan. And one thing we thought that they were very vulnerable on kickoff coverage. So we had worked hard all week on kickoff return, and we had a kickoff return blocking schemes to take advantage of maybe their weakness at Morgan on their coverage. So opening kickoff, they kicked off to us, and lo and behold, we were running all the way for a touchdown. Everyone made their block. There wasn't a Morgan kid in sight, and we were going to score immediately. And all of a sudden, a Morgan kid came out of nowhere and made the tackle. And so I asked the coaches, where did he come from? I had counted everybody on the field, and nobody knew. So it happened a second time during that game as well. So there were two opportunities we probably would have scored and didn't for some reason. So we were sort of bewildered on what was going on. And the next day I was watching the game tape, and I had noticed that the tackler came off of the bench as the 12th man. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. And as I thought more and more about it and I researched it more and more, I found out that that was a ploy by some coaches. They would take one of their best players and they'd put him on the sideline and they would put their arm around them. And if the opposing team broke all the tackles and was going for a touchdown, they would shove them in and he would come on and make the tackle. So it caused tremendous controversy. And I protested the game, and I had it right on game tape. And it was one of the assistant coaches that did that. You could see him with his arm around this particular kid. And so I had protested the game to the State Association, the CIAC, and they still gave Morgan the win, but it was for the Shoreline Championship, and they took away the Shoreline Championship from them. So you can imagine, you know, what that situation caused between the two towns. CBS News in New York City came to interview people. That's the kind of story it was. So the following year was 1976, and we had a real good team, as I mentioned. And, you know, everybody thought that we would, you know, they would there'd be so much animosity there that we would just kill him. And, you know, that thought never occurred to me. It was over. It happened. It was over. Let's move on. And we did beat him pretty nicely, but it wasn't because of the year before. But then after that incident, Guilford was sort of more of a natural rivalry for Madison in athletics. And they wanted to play us on Thanksgiving. They kept asking. We had such a good rivalry with Morgan. We said no. But after that situation, we agreed not to play Morgan on Thanksgiving anymore. And we did play him during the regular season, in the middle of the season, but not on Thanksgiving. And that's how we ended up playing Guilford. I was so excited that I was becoming the head football coach at Hand High School. And we had lived in New Haven in a small apartment in a real good section of New Haven. And I was very concerned for my children. They were going to be of school age, and I had to send them to public school in New Haven. So that wasn't going to happen because I was now the head football coach in Madison. So I decided we are moving to Madison. And so we looked for a house, and we found this little house at the end of Green Hill Road. And it was a cute little house, and we decided to move in there. So, you know, we didn't have money to hire movers, so we moved ourselves. And my wife, Barbara, she was a farm girl in Northford. And so her father said, take the big rack truck, farmer's truck, and we'll fill it up and tie all the furniture down, and we'll bring it to Madison. So that's what we did. So we came to Madison, and we were like ragtag people coming in with a rack truck full of furniture tied down with ropes and blankets. Could imagine what people in Madison would think, what is going on, if they were ever saw what we were coming into town. But we moved in to a Green Hill Road house, and my friend Andy Talley, who was the former head football coach at Villanova and actually a coach of the year, Hall of Fame coach of the year, he said, I'm going to help you move in. I said, oh, that'll be great. I need help. So it was a very hot day in July that I had moved in. We were unwrapping all of the furniture and the things that you wrap up, you know, and we're taking the newspaper, and there was this fireplace in the house. And I said, whoa, we have a fireplace. And my friend Andy Talley said, yeah, let's have a fire. So we threw all the paper into the fire. Little did I know, I never started a fire in my life. Little did I know, the flames went up the chimney in a hurry and caused a chimney fire. All of a sudden, there was smoke in the house. And I said, oh my goodness, what's going on? So I called immediately the fire department, and they came down. And they said, yeah, you have a chimney fire. So they put the chimney fire out, and they put the big exhaust fans, and blew all the smoke out. And the chief of police came to me and said, let me ask you, are you the new head football coach at Hand? And I said, yeah. And he shook his head and said, oh, my God.